نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما أمروا إلا ليعبدوا الله مخلصين له الدين. صدق الله العظيم. Most respected elders and brothers and our mothers and sisters that are listening, over the past few nights we have been discussing qualities related to the heart. And this is because the month of Ramadan is the month of transformation, the month of reformation. And it is an ideal opportunity. Shaitan is kept at bay. Our nafs is under control through the agency of fasting. So it is very conducive. It is ideal for us to work on improving ourselves, becoming better individuals. And the transformation has to commence from within. That is the main and more important transformation that takes place. For a person to make external changes is rather easy, but to make the internal changes sometimes takes many, many years to accomplish. Together with that, we learn in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that there is a piece of flesh in the body. If that flesh is in good condition, the entire body is in good condition. And if that piece of flesh is corrupt, the entire body becomes corrupt. In other words, corrupt actions will emanate from that body. Ala wa hiya al-qalb. Nabi Kareem Sassam said, that piece of flesh is the heart. So we have been discussing qualities, and tonight we wanted to touch on the quality of sincerity. This quality of sincerity, again, it is a quality that is related to the heart. I cannot see into your heart, you cannot see into my heart. But each individual knows what are the intentions that are within his heart. With regards to this quality of sincerity, in Arabic they call it ikhlas. Ikhlas, linguistically, they translate it as at-tanqiyatu wa tasfiyatu, meaning to purify something and to remove impurities. The Arabs would describe pure milk, which had absolutely, it was not mixed with anything else, with any foreign item or any foreign ingredient. They would say that the milk was khalis, that milk was pure. So if we have to take that linguistic meaning, it would mean that a person purifies his actions from all motives besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That action is purely and solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ulama ikram, they give a definition. They say, ifradullah bil qasd fi ta'ah. That the person singles out Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone in one's intention. So when a person is performing that act of worship, again, it is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no, desire for any reputation. There is no desire for any status. There is no desire for any praise or any acknowledgement. Because after all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that being who deserves to be worshipped. So, we find in the verse of the Quran Majid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, he gives a command, that you have been commanded to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with absolute purity, with absolute sincerity. In another verse of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, فَعْبُدِ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصًا لَهُ الدِّينَ. Again, the gist of that verse is worship Allah with absolute sincerity. And then the famous hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ. That actions are judged and are based on the intentions. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, there is a backdrop to this particular hadith that, the hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba ikram, where they migrated from Makkatul Mukarrama to Madinatul Munawwara. This was a great, praiseworthy action that was highly appreciated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that required a great amount of sacrifice. They left their wealth behind, they left their property behind, they left everything behind, and they went to Madinatul Munawwara, so to say, as foreigners, with absolutely nothing. Allah really appreciated the sacrifice that they had made. And Allah in the Quran and Majid had praised those who had migrated for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect and to preserve their deen. Now, there was a particular sahabi who had put a proposal for a woman in Madinatul Munawwara, and she accepted the proposal, but one of the conditions was that he had to now move to Madinatul Munawwara. She said, look, I'm not prepared to come to Makkah, so you rather come to Medina and, you know, we can stay here. So he also migrated. He also migrated, and there was nothing wrong with that migration. But Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used this as an example to teach everyone a lesson. That فَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ, that the one who has migrated for Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, indeed his migration is for Allah and His Rasul. That is purely for Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى الدُّنْيَا, and that person who has migrated for some material gain, or he migrates, أَوْ إِمْرَأَةٍ يَنْكِحُهَا, he migrates for a woman in order to get married to her, then his migration is for that specific purpose. He cannot expect some kind of reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That migration is for that particular purpose. So from this we understand that whenever we are engaging in any activity, if a person decides now he wants to put up a masjid, he has to ask himself the question that what is the motive, what is my objective of putting up this masjid? Is it that I want some kind of recognition in the community? I want the people to know that, you know, I'm a very generous person. Or I want some kind of acknowledgement within my families and within my quarters. Then, unfortunately, he may get that. Definitely, the person will get that kind of recognition in the community. You know, people will sing his praises and people will acknowledge him. He will get respect when he walks in the masjid. The musallis also will give him due respect, because after all, he's one of the main trustees and he has built the masjid. So he will get the respect. That's what he built the masjid for. However, when the person goes in the akhirah, he cannot expect any reward by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is one hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in which it is mentioned that different categories of people will be brought before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One will be a person who had fought in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a person who recited the Quran and Majid, a person who became an alim, and each and every one of them will be flung into the fire of Jahannam. They will say, but Ya Allah, I recited the Quran, and why am I being flung into the fire of Jahannam? It will be said that you recited the Quran so that people can praise you. You had a very melodious voice, mashallah, you could sway the crowd with your voice. So you got that. That's what you wanted. You wanted to sway the crowd. So you were able to sway the crowd. So you got what you wanted. You didn't do it for my pleasure. And he will be flung into the fire of Jahannam. The alim will be brought also. It will be said to him, he will say that I learned your deen. He said, you learned my deen again for a name and fame, for recognition, whatever it may have been. And you got that in this world. And therefore, and then a person who sacrificed his life on the battlefield, he too will be flung into the fire of Jahannam. And he will say, but I gave my life for your deen. It will be said to him that you sacrificed your life so that people could say that you're very courageous, that you are a hero. And that's exactly what happened. People called you a hero. Maybe they even named a building after you. I'm just dramatizing it. But maybe they even named a building after you. So you got all of that. That you got. But unfortunately, that action was not accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In one hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is mentioned, أَخْوَفُ مَا أَخَافُ عَلَيْكُمْ الشِّرْكُ الْأَصْغَرُ, that the thing I fear the most upon you is what is termed as minor shirk. And sahaba ikram said, Ya Rasulullah, what is this minor shirk? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Riya. Riya means showing off. Where the person does that action to show others. He's doing it to show other people. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. But this is such a thing. If you think about it, the person in the example that we gave of the person who built the masjid, how much of money he spent, how many people he engaged in the process of building the masjid. He had to purchase the land, he had to hire an architect, he had to hire a quantity surveyor, he had to, you know, engage the services of an electrician, and, you know, so many different contractors and so many different people in order to build that masjid. Perhaps, you know, an entire year may have gone of sacrifice and of toil. But at the end of it all, if it was done for other than Allah, that entire year of sacrifice and all that money that was spent will unfortunately not be of any assistance to him in the year after. And that is why we have to continuously, you know, check our intentions. In another hadith, Allah, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that I am the most independent of partners. Whoever performs a deed associating others with me, I leave him and his shirk. In other words, if that action, Allah is absolutely, you know, filled with honor. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has got pride and rightfully so. And Allah can never tolerate that any action is done for other than him. If Allah sees that an action is done for anything besides him, he abandons that action. That action will never be accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sahaba ikiram were so particular with regards to this. It is mentioned an incident of Ali radiallahu anhu. He was fighting in the battle. In the midst of the battle, he was fighting hand-to-hand combat. Those were real warriors. That was real bravery. Nowadays, the battles are, you know, behind closed doors, pressing of buttons. So, you know, completely cut off reality. But these were real warriors. So he was fighting hand-to-hand combat with the enemy. And he managed to overpower the enemy. And he was on the verge of executing him and eliminating him. Whilst in that condition, the enemy spat directly in his face. So now you think about it. If it was one of us, we would say all the more reason to put him away. And in fact, if you know, we could take as much anger out on him as possible. But it is mentioned that Ali radiallahu anhu immediately stood up from there and walked to him. This believer was astounded. He was dumbfounded. He then approached Ali radiallahu anhu. He said, "Please explain. You had every reason to kill me. Firstly, you had me under control. And now when I spat in your face, all the more reason for you to, you know, kill me." Ali radiallahu anhu mentioned that in the first instance, I was fighting you for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That was my reason and my motivation for fighting you. But now when you spat in my face, I became angry. I became enraged. And now I wanted to kill you to appease my anger. It was now, I was killing you not for Allah, but it was for my own self. And therefore I felt I rather completely leave this out. Look at how concerned they were that every action of theirs should be for Allah and for Allah alone. I will mention an incident of our late Maulana Bilal Sahib Rahmatullahi, where he was in Mauritius and a youngster came to him and he mentioned to him that, "Maulana, you know, I look after my parents, you know, they stay with me and I see to them and I serve them, I spend on them. But I've got a brother who lives far away. He'll come sometimes once a month, twice a month. But despite him only coming twice a month, he's still the blue-eyed boy. He's the blue-eyed boy. No matter what I do, it's like never enough." So Maulana Sahib Rahmatullahi mentioned to him that, "Bhai, I want you to engrave in your heart. I want you to engrave this in your heart. Do for Allah's pleasure, Allah will grant you from His treasure." So Hazrat was explaining to him that what's happening is, why are you feeling that way? Is that, sir, you're feeling now, you're waiting for their acknowledgement. You're waiting for them to now stand up and give you a vote of thanks. That, you know, you've done this for us and that for us. However, if you just change your intention, that I'm serving my parents, whether they thank me or don't thank me, whether they acknowledge me or don't acknowledge me, that's irrelevant. I am doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I want Allah to become pleased with me. So now when the person just changes that, now there's no expectation. One of the reasons why we have this, you know, depression and the sadness and anxiety is because we have expectation now. I expected them to, you know, reciprocate my kindness. But now if the person makes his intention khalis and solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there will be great, you know, power in that particular amal. And in fact, with regards to this aspect of power, that sometimes it's a small deed, very small deed. But because it is coupled with ikhlas, the reward is immense in the eye of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the hadith, there is a mention of a person, a man, who gave water to a thirsty dog. And because of that, Allah forgave all his sins. Now, if we really ponder over this, that when he was giving that water to the dog, he had no intention that anyone must see this. That was an action which he did only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is an incident of Zubaydah, the wife of Harun Rashid, who had built the canal from the river Euphrates right till the plains of Mina, Muzdalifa, Arafah for the people for the Hujjaj. What a great amal that was. It is mentioned that for many, many years and centuries perhaps, people were benefiting and drinking from those waters. However, when she passed away, somebody who was close to her, they saw her in a dream and they asked her that, how did Allah reward you for this great achievement of yours? She said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it was said to me that on a particular day you were sitting in your garden and it was very hot, so you requested a cold glass of water, and that water was brought to you, and you were about to drink that water when you heard the adhan. So you placed the water down and you paid attention to the adhan, and thereafter you drank the water. Because of this action, I am forgiving all your sins and granting you entry into Jannah. Now look at how small that action was. But the difference was that action was done purely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the thing, Mawlana Yunus Sahib rahmatullah used to say, that today you find that we have so many programs, so many bayans, and there are so many events that are taking place, and so many functions and functions upon functions upon functions. But why is it that people are not changing? Why is it that their hearts are not changing? And Hazrat Yusuf mentioned that one of the reasons is that the secret of ingredient of ikhlas is missing. It is either the speaker has got no ikhlas, the speaker, he is speaking in order to impress the crowd. We heard in the Taraweeh, وَمَنْ أَحْسَنْ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ, that whose speech can be better than that person who calls towards Allah. But now the person giving the talk, he is actually calling to himself. He's calling the people to himself. Okay, check what a good bayan I can give. See how I'm quoting from the kitabs. See how eloquent I am. See how relevant my topic is. See how I've got my finger on the pulse. You know, see. So now the person who's delivering the talk, instead of inviting towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is inviting to himself. Hazrat said, sometimes the speaker, mashallah, he's got ikhlas. He's a very pious person. But you find that the people who are listening, they don't have ikhlas. They don't have sincerity. So the person is just going for some reason. He doesn't really have sincerity in that. Or sometimes the speaker has got sincerity. The listeners too have sincerity. But the organizers of that program, they have some ulterior motive. And Hazrat used to give the example. He said sometimes you'll find an organization, they want to raise funds. They want to raise some funds for their building project, whatever project it may be. So they say, listen, you know what? If we have a function and we can get enough crowds in the function, then, you know, we'll raise a lot of money because we sell more tickets. But now how do we get the crowd? So let's bring a certain scholar, you know, whether it's the Imam of the Haram or some scholar, bring that person down. So we bring him down, he'll give the bayan. Now, mashallah, the Imam of the Haram or that great scholar that is coming down, he is sincere. The listeners who are coming, they are sincere. But the organizers of the program, the only intention they have is to get some money so that they can put up the structure. So they too, unfortunately, their intention is not so that people can get hidayah, so that people's hearts can change, so that people can get connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as you say, unfortunately, this is one of the reasons why our programs are not having that impact on the hearts. So the question is, respected elders and brothers, how do we develop this quality of ikhlas? And one of the things that we can do is definitely sitting in the company of the mukhlisin. Sitting in the company of those people who we can't see who has got ikhlas and not ikhlas. But you can perceive the person, he's doing something. He doesn't seem to have any ulterior motive. This, you can sense that this person is sincere. If you sense that the person is sincere, try and spend time in his company. That is one easy way to develop sincerity. The other is that continuously check your intentions. Why am I doing this action? What is my intention behind it? And remember, sometimes try to do certain deeds without anybody knowing. It shouldn't be that we're always looking for some acknowledgement and some praise. Try and do some a'mal. That in one hadith, Nabi Kareem Sahasim said, the best charity is such that the one hand does not even know what the other hand gave. The one hand doesn't even know what the other hand gave. And then one alim said that one person donated to the madrasa, he gave 100 rand. So after 1 week, he said, Manana, that 100 rand, how is it getting used? If the 100 rand, how is that really going? One person came to madrasa, he dropped, many years back, he dropped a computer off. He said, Morana, this computer you can use at the madrasa is about to crash, but you can just see, you can use it for. So now, he probably, he found a convenient way, instead of dumping it in the scrapyard or in the dump site, drop it at the madrasa, unfortunately. So you can see the people have ulterior motives. You know, there's a motive behind it. It's not really for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One person gave Maulana Patel Sahib rahmatullahi a expensive pot. Then every time he would meet Maulana, that pot, how's he using it? So, and you'd find a strategic moment. As soon as he sees Maulana with a few people, he'd come to Maulana, that pot he used. So he was trying now to get some recognition in the community that he gave Maulana a pot. So what Maulana did was, he gave that pot away. He gave it away. And then he gave that person a gift that was more expensive than the pot itself. Because Maulana said, I felt like this person felt like he did a favor to me. So unfortunately, we find that people now, sometimes they even are giving gifts, and there's an ulterior motive behind that gift. We are engaging in a relationship with that person because of what I can get out of it. You know, be friends with him because, you know, when we need a loan, then we know we can go and ask him for a loan. So even that relationship too is, there's a matlab behind it. There's some ulterior motive. Yet, a relationship which was forced for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that wajabat mahabbati lil mutahabbina fiyya wal mutajalisina fiyya wal mutazawirina fiyya. My love becomes compulsory for those two individuals who love each other for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They love for one another, there's no ulterior motive. It's only and solely for the pleasure of Allah. That kind of a relationship invites the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah starts loving those individuals. So a person constantly should check his heart, and then obviously we will make abundant dua that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with sincerity. May Allah protect us from any kind of riya and showing off. Remember, you're going to run behind people. You run behind people, you're never going to please people. That famous incident, and we'll terminate on this before our zikr, that there was a father and son. They decided that, you know, they wanted to sell their donkey. They were tired of this donkey, so they decided they'll sell it. So both of them, you know, undertook the journey to the marketplace. And whilst going, they passed through one town. And they passed through the town, the people of the town started commenting. And look at these foolish people. They've got a donkey, but they're both walking. I mean, why would you have a donkey? If you have a donkey, you're supposed to be riding the donkey. So both the father and son said, okay, you know what, they're saying that. So let's ride the donkey. So both of them, you know, sat on the donkey. And they went to the next town. The people there started commenting. And look at these people. They're zalims and oppressors. Poor donkey. Two people sitting on one donkey. What kind of zulam and oppression they're making on the donkey? So now they said, now, what do we do? And so the father said, all right, listen. You will ride for a while, and then I'll ride for, you know, thereafter. So they came to the next town now. And now they saw the, you know, as they entered, the father was holding the donkey and the son was on. And I said, look at this disrespectful son. Look at how disrespectful he is. He makes his father walk and he is on the donkey. And when they went to the next town, now they swapped over. Now they said, look at this, you know, father making zulam on his son. Eventually what happened in the next town, they both decided they'll carry the donkey. And there too the comments, the moral of the story is that you can never please people. No matter how hard you try to please people, there'll always be someone. Now you build that masjid, you build that, or the Qari Sahib is reading his salah, he's trying to impress the crowd, but there'll be one, that one musalli will say, you know, your pitch was too high. The other musalli will say it's too soft. That musalli will say it's too fast. This musalli will say it's, you know, too slow. You can never please people. That is why Allama Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullahi gives the example of the person who was in a room filled with mirrors. There were mirrors all around the room. And now there was a bird that was flying in that room. And now he was continuously trying to catch the bird in those mirrors. And he was, you know, continuously struggling to catch the bird. And he was not succeeding. So Allama Jalaluddin Umi Rahmatullahi says that if this foolish person just turned away from the mirrors and focused in the center of the room at that one bird, Then he would have caught all the birds in those mirrors by catching them. So he says, in the same way, if you just focus on pleasing your one Allah, that I want to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm unconcerned whether people will be happy or whether they sad, but my main objective is my Allah must be pleased. Then Allah will make it such eventually people too, they too will start respecting that individual. But the primary goal should be the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah ta'ala bless us with ikhlas. Recite Durood Sharif. In the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is mentioned that la ilaha illallah laysa la hijabun dun Allah. That between the skalima and the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no barrier. Therefore, when we recite this kalima, we should imagine and contemplate that it is going directly to the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and from there Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercies, Allah's tajalliyat are being focused on our hearts. When we say la ilaha, remove everything besides Allah from our hearts, and when we say illallah, bring the thought of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our hearts.
لا إله إلا الله 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 محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الله جل جلاله وتعالى شأنه الله 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 Allah 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 La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث اللهم لك الحمد كما أنت أهله
وصل وسلم على محمد كما أنت أهله، وافعل بنا كما أنت أهله، فإنك أهل التقوى وأهل المغفرة. اللهم يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. جزى الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله. Oh Kareem Allah, Rahim Allah, most forgiving Allah, most loving Allah, most caring Allah. Ya Allah, tonight is the 23rd night, Ya Allah, of the month of Ramadan, Ya Allah. It is a odd night, Ya Allah. Together with that, Ya Allah, it is Laylatul Jumu'ah. It is the night of Jumu'ah. Oh Allah, we have learned from some of our ulama'i kiram that there is a high likelihood it could be the night of power. It could be the night of Qadr, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, you have given us life, Ya Allah, to witness this night, Ya Allah. We were making dua from the month of Rajab that, Oh Allah, give us life to witness this month of Ramadan. And in this month of Ramadan, we were hoping, Ya Allah, to find the odd nights, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, you have given us life tonight, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, we are extremely sinful servants of yours, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, we are criminals before you, Ya Allah. We are transgressors before you, Ya Allah. Hum zalim hai, Ya Allah. Hum siyakar hai, Ya Allah. Khatakar hai, Ya Allah. Mujrim hai, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, we have a mountain of sins behind us, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, perhaps our sins are more than the grains of sand on earth, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, we know, Ya Allah, that our sins are such, Ya Allah, we should be doomed to the fire of Jahannam, Ya Allah. But Oh Allah, tonight, Ya Allah, we heard in the Taraweeh, Ya Allah, you have mentioned, Ya Ibadi alladhina asrafu ala anfusihim, la taqnatu min rahmatillah. Oh Allah, do not despair in your hope, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, the fact that we are raising our begging bowls, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, is a sign that we are hopeful of your forgiveness, Ya Allah. We are hopeful of your mercy, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, you are the most forgiving, Ya Allah. You are the most loving, Ya Allah. You are the most caring, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, we are beggars before you, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, we are not justifying any sin that we may have committed, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, we are guilty on all counts, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, we are not justifying our sins, Ya Allah. We know, Ya Allah, that you saw everything, Ya Allah. You heard everything, Ya Allah. You knew everything, Ya Allah. You still gave us respite, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, had it been any other Allah, the moment we looked at haram, you would have made us blind. The moment we listened to haram, you would have made us deaf. The moment we spoke haram, you would have made us dumb. The moment we touched haram, you would have paralyzed us. You would have sent a lightning bolt from the sky to destroy us, Ya Allah. But oh Allah, from the morning till the night we commit sins, Ya Allah. But you still cause our hearts to beat, Ya Allah. You still allow the blood to flow in our bodies, Ya Allah. You still shower us with favors upon favors, Ya Allah. Where will we find such a tolerant Allah? Oh Allah, oh Allah, forgive us, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, forgive the sins of our eyes, Ya Allah. Forgive the sins of our ears, Ya Allah. Forgive the sins of our tongues, Ya Allah. Forgive the sins of our hands and feet, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, forgive those sins which we committed knowingly, unknowingly, Ya Allah. In the light of day or darkness of night, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, even if our sins are more than the grains of sand on earth, Ya Allah. If our sins are more than the leaves of the trees of this world, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, just one drop from your ocean of forgiveness, Ya Allah, is sufficient to wipe away the sins of the entire mankind, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, forgive us, Ya Allah. Forgive our parents, Ya Allah. Forgive our children, Ya Allah. Forgive our brothers and sisters, Ya Allah. Forgive our family members, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, forgive the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, if you do not forgive us tonight, Ya Allah, there is no hope for us, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, if a beggar is chased from one home, that beggar can still go to another home. If a dog is chased from one butcher, that dog can still go to another butcher. But oh Allah, if you turn sinful ones like us away from your door, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, there is no other door for us besides your door, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, open up your doors of rahmat upon us, Ya Allah. Open up your doors and your floodgates of forgiveness upon each and every one of us, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, no one can question you why you forgave those sinners who raised their begging bowls before you on the 23rd night of Ramadan, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, have mercy upon us, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, change the condition of our hearts, Ya Allah. Hame musaffa, mujalla, muzakka, dil ata farma. Allah, give us clean, purified hearts, Ya Allah. Bless us, Ya Allah, with ikhlas, Ya Allah. Bless us with the quality of shukr, Ya Allah. Bless us with the quality of qana'at, Ya Allah. Bless us with the noble character of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh Allah, make this Ramadan a turning point in our lives, Ya Allah. How long are we going to live and lead a life distant from you, Ya Allah? Oh Allah, our lives are melting away like a block of ice on a sunny day, Ya Allah. Umr ho rahi hai mithl barf kam. Chupke chupke, rafta rafta, dam badam. Oh Allah, we are moving swiftly towards our graves, Ya Allah. But we are so engrossed, Ya Allah, and absorbed in this, Ya Allah, material world, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, I've seen so many people, Ya Allah, passing away suddenly, Ya Allah, in accidents, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, in robberies, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, some of them were so young, Ya Allah, and their lives came to an end, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, yet, Ya Allah, we took no heed, Ya Allah. We visited the grave sites, Ya Allah, on so many occasions, Ya Allah. We went for so many janazas, Ya Allah, but we took no lesson whatsoever, Ya Allah. But oh Allah, give us the realization, Ya Allah, that the angel of death can strike at any moment, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, when the angel of death comes, Ya Allah, take us to Madina Sharif, Ya Allah. And the Rawdah Mubarak of Nabi Pak, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But as salatu was salamu alayka, Ya Rasulullah. Cause our souls to depart, Ya Allah. لیکن اگر مقدر نہیں ہے تو جہاں بھی موت برکت والی موت نصیب فرما یا اللہ wherever it may be یا اللہ let the angel of death find us in some good deed یا اللہ oh Allah do not let the angel of death find us in any sin یا اللہ what a shame it would be یا اللہ if an ummati of Rasulullah صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم passes away whilst committing a sin یا اللہ Oh Allah, enter us into Jannah without any reckoning, Ya Allah. Allahumma hasibna hisaban yaseera. Oh Allah, enter us into Jannah without any reckoning, Ya Allah. In the company of the sulaha, in the company of the anbiya, in the company of the fuqaha, in the company of the muhaddithin, in the company of the mufassireen, in the company of Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh Allah, fill the graves, Ya Allah, of our near and dear ones, Ya Allah, with nur, Ya Allah. There are so many individuals, Ya Allah, who have been kind to us. Ya Allah, many of whom have passed away, Ya Allah, may have been our grandparents or parents, Ya Allah, our family members, Ya Allah, our teachers and our apas, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, we are indebted to them, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, reward them the best of rewards, Ya Allah. If they have passed away, fill the graves with nur, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, fill the graves with nur, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, oh Allah, bless us, Ya Allah, with the best of dunya and akhirah, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, give us barakat in our homes, Ya Allah. Barakat in our businesses, Ya Allah. Barakat in our health, Ya Allah. Barakat in every single bounty that you have granted us, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, protect us in this country, Ya Allah. Change the conditions in this country from instability to stability, from insecurity to security, Ya Allah. Bless us with safety, Ya Allah. Protect all the works of deen, Ya Allah. Protect our masajid, our madaris, our darul ulums and khanqas, Ya Allah. All the works of deen that are taking place, protect it, Ya Allah. Protect our ulama, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, unite the hearts of parents and children, Ya Allah. Unite the hearts of brothers and sisters, Ya Allah. Unite the hearts of family members, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, unite the hearts of the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh Allah, the ummah of Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is suffering in so many parts of the world, Ya Allah. Wherever they are suffering, Ya Allah, whether it is in Gaza, Ya Allah, whilst we perform taraweeh, Ya Allah, and fast with such ease, Ya Allah. Many of them, Ya Allah, perform their taraweeh amidst rubble, Ya Allah. Their homes have been destroyed, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, have mercy upon them, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, we know it is because of our sin that they are suffering, Ya Allah. But oh Allah, we beseech you, Ya Allah, forgive us, Ya Allah, and have mercy upon them, Ya Allah. Restore Masjid al-Aqsa to the hands of the Muslimin, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, protect Haramain Sharifain, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, take us all for Umrah again and again, Ya Allah. Those who have not gone for Hajj, Ya Allah, take them for Hajj, Ya Allah. Those who are sick and ailing, grant them Shifa, Ya Allah. Those who are going through financial difficulties, you provide for them, Ya Allah. Those, Ya Allah, who have debts, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, make it easy for them to pay all their debts, Ya Allah. Those who are looking for marriage partners, bless them with pious, compatible marriage partners, Ya Allah. Those who are married, Ya Allah, make their marriages Jannat on earth, Ya Allah. Protect our children, Ya Allah, from the fitnas of the time, Ya Allah. Make our children in the coolness of our eyes, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, make our children the coolness of eyes, Ya Allah. Protect the youth of the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Make them the flag bearers of the Deen of Islam, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, oh Allah, we get tired making dua because of our weakness, Ya Allah. But you know our needs better than anyone else, Ya Allah. Each and every individual who has raised his or her hand before you, Ya Allah. Fulfill all their good desires and aspirations, Ya Allah. Whatever difficulty, hardship, challenge, sickness they are going through, you know very well, Ya Allah. You alleviate it, Ya Allah. Allahumma inna nas'aluka min kulli khayr. Ma sa'alaka minhu nabiyuka wa habibuka sayyiduna Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa na'udhu bika min kulli shar. Ma sta'adha minhu nabiyuka. عبدك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. اگرچہ پر خطا ہے پر کہا جائے تیرا بندہ تیرے در پر تیرا بندہ با امید کرم آیا. Allah, we have been taught by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that if we find the night of Qadr, we should make dua. Ya Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afwa fa'fu anna. Allah, we beg you for your forgiveness, Ya Allah. Do not turn your glance of rahmat away from sinners like us, Ya Allah. Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala al-Nabi. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله.